Baruch Hashem, we have discussed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. We are learning in Eretz Yisrael. The question is, can you be buried in Eretz Yisrael? Well, let's go. So, of course, the context from Sefer Bereishis here and Parshas Vayechi is, of course, the very famous request that, or even almost demand, that Yaakov makes of Yosef. So can tell us here of Tarek Mem Zayin, Yikrevu Yimei Yisrael, almost Yaakov knew that he was going to die, and he calls the Yosef in, he makes him take a shvua, how shall we say, a unique form of a shvua. I don't think anyone else has or certainly would want to have to take such a shvua in the future, but that was Yaakov's way of making Yosef take a shvua. And he says, I want you to promise me, Asisi Imadi Chesed, the MS, I'll not take away me in Mitzrayim. Whatever you do, do not bury me in Mitzrayim. Rather, where should I be? V'shachachti ma'vosai, zazai ma'vitzrayim, v'kevertani v'tursam, Yosef responds, anochi esek v'maracha. Right, Yaakov knows his father and his grandfather, and Yitzchak and Avraham are buried in Maracha Machpelah, and Yaakov wants to be buried there too. So obviously there's going to be a delay. Yaakov knows Ruach HaKodesh, that his children are going to be in Eretz Yisrael for a while. They actually ended up being there less than he thought. And then Hashem ended up making us not stay the whole time. But still, a three-digit number of years that he had to be there until eventually, after the Avos, eventually the Bnei Yisrael go out with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and eventually everyone we take care of. That's when Yosef, if you take a look even in the next pasuk, the next source in Bereishis, in Perek Nun, pasuk Chav, later in the Parsha, where Yosef also knows he's going to die, and he makes the children, his siblings, and his nephews, and his children, everyone should promise, at least him as Asma Slam, he said, whenever you go out eventually, you should take my bones with you. So Yaakov asked Yosef. Yosef is ruler of Mitzrayim. He has the koach to make sure that Yaakov is buried. And Yosef himself later in the Parsha also says the same request as his father. He also wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, although of course he's not going to be buried right away. He'll have to wait until eventually the Jews go out. And in fact, it actually makes for quite a stirring image. And there are Mamar Chazal and others who speak about the idea of the Jewish people going out, carrying, you know, traveling through the desert with the bones of Yosef. In fact, Chazal talked about how they carried back to Har Sinai two Aronos, one with the Aseres HaDibros and one with the Atzmos of Yosef. A lot of powerful imagery and machshava from that. But be that as it may, we have here in Parshas Vayechi very famously two references, Yaakov especially, but also Yosef's, the idea of wanting to be buried not in Chutz La'aretz, even if you live in Chutz La'aretz or you are dying in Chutz La'aretz, but to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi gives us a little bit of a hint as to why someone might want to do that. Where does that come from? So Rashi says some interesting things. First he says, Sofa Lios Afara Kinin, that somehow the body degrades more if you're in Chutz La'aretz. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but that's what he says. And V'she'ein Meisechol Chaim Elevitzar Gilgul Mechilos. What is that referring to? That's referring to something we're going to see in the Gemara shortly. The idea that there's some benefit, I'll get to the details when we get to the Gemara, there's a benefit for Tchias HaMeisim purposes if you're buried in Eretz Yisrael. And last but not least, something that's unique, in theory, by the way, those two things, the first one we shouldn't really understand, and the second one we shouldn't explain yet, they apply to anybody who would be buried outside of Eretz Yisrael versus in Eretz Yisrael. And the third thing, which is unique to Yaakov, Shalo Yasuni Mitzrayim Avodah Zarah. An interesting fear. Now, I'm not going to discuss that, where it comes from and why that was a realistic fear or not. But Yaakov was worried, interestingly, Yaakov was worried that if he was buried in Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim would make him into an Avodah Zarah. Why? What do they care about Yaakov? Interesting. But that was Yaakov's fear, says Rashi. Therefore also, don't bury me here, I don't want to be the cause of Avodah Zarah. So that's a really unique that story. But the larger point is mentioned, you don't really understand exactly what the first point is, some of the decaying, and then there's also some benefit of TSMASIM. So what I want to do is I want to spend a sheer discussing what the source of the idea is, as well as to see what the various postkin throughout the ages and including into the 20th century have said about this idea. It's a very, very common phenomenon. Probably all of you know somebody who lived somewhere in the Chutz La'aretz and then was buried in Eretz Yisrael. My guess is many of you have grandparents, including me. I have two grandparents who both lived and died in the Chutz La'aretz and are buried in the Har Menuchos. my parents could live to be 120, and halavai they should make aliyah, but if nothing changes, then after 120, my parents will spend their life in Chutzlar, and they have two plots, right next to my Babi Zevi. It's kind of an eerie thing. I go to visit the cabin of my grandparents, and there's empty spots there, and I treat them with great respect, because I know one day, and there's nothing for me there, though, so that would be really eerie. Anyway, but I sometimes go there with my parents, and they make all sorts of morbid jokes. But anyway. So obviously I'm aware of the fact that this is a common thing, but we want to discuss what the issues are, why Yaakov and why you or I or our parents or grandparents might want to do this, what benefits are there, and perhaps surprisingly, because I think most people, we just accept the fact that if a person is interested and can afford it, they would want to. But in fact, we'll see it's not that simple. Already in Chazal and even into 20th century poskim, there were those who took a little bit of a more negative attitude towards it. Yeah.
Could you say the first Pshat in Rashi just means that, like, by Makas Kinim, that his body would be disintegrated from the lice?
Oh, well, that's a good point. That's a good point. Perhaps, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Or maybe I just wasn't reading it carefully. Okay, you know, why that should be, wasn't exactly as... Okay, fine, fair enough. If they go to the Farshi Rashi, you could be right. Maybe I wasn't reading carefully. Thank you. Okay, so you all know, and certainly by the end of this year, if you haven't yet known, you can't spend a year learning in Eretz Yeshiva without at some point hearing someone quote some of the Gemara at the end of Masechta Ketubos. The most Tzioni Gemaras in all of Shas are the last three Dafim in Masechta Ketubos, and there's a lot of, in all seriousness, beautiful, beautiful Mamari Chazal, very inspiring, very instructive about what our Hashkafa should be, our attitude should be towards Eretz Yisrael. And most of them talk about living in Eretz Yisrael. However, there is a little bit of a passage here in Daf Kuf Yud Aleph that speaks exactly about our topic, about dying and then being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, a few different opinions, you'll see. Amar of Anam, Kala Kavur Be'Eretz Yisrael, meaning someone who did live there, didn't die there, but then is buried in Eretz Yisrael, Ki'ilu Kavur Tachas HaMizbeach. It's an incredible thing. It's as if you're being buried underneath the Mizbeach, meaning even if you didn't burrow into the Temple Mount and bury yourself under the Mizbeach, you can be buried in Beit Shemesh and Har Menuchos, it doesn't matter where you're buried, it's Ki'ilu you were buried Tachas HaMizbeach. How do we know this, and what is the point of that? We'll be clear in a second. The Gemara says it's a drasha. On the one hand, Steve Hacha Mizbeach Adama Ta'aseli. The Mizbeach, even though it's made out of stone, but it's referred to as Mizbeach Adama. And Ksiv Hasam, the keeper Admaso. The idea of Adama being a source of kapara. And the Gemara makes a hekesh that the Adama here is the Adama there, that the Kvura in the Adama of Eretz Yisrael gives you the benefit of being like the Mizbeach Adama, as if you were being buried under there. And the point, clearly, once we see the psukim, is that this is not just some vague, nice idea, but more specifically, if we wanted to digest it and say, what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that to be buried in Eretz Yisrael is a great kapara. Death itself, whatever this means, it's hard for us to understand, death itself is a form of kapara. The Rambam speaks about that in the Book of Tshuva. Certain averos you can get kapara in the Book of Tshuva. Certain averos need yisurin. Certain averos won't be forgiven until you have Misa. And then there's even those very, very small number of averos which even Misa might not give a kapara for. But Misa is a form of kapara. But says the Gemara, being buried in Eretz Yisrael is a further form of a type of a kapara. So then the Gemara continues. Ula, have a ruggle to have a solid to Eretz Yisrael. Ula would often go up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So he had a good chance of dying in Eretz Yisrael. He spent a lot of time here. Right, before you now, in the 20th century, it's not so unheard of. You know, people jet set, flying, but in those days it was a special thing that Ula came to Eretz Yisrael a lot. But it so happened, it was bad luck for him, Nach Nashe v'chutlaritz. He actually died though when he was not in Eretz Yisrael, but when he was in Chutlaritz. Also, Rabbi Lazar quoted a pasuk that speaks about how terrible it is to be buried in a tummy land, in Chutzlaritz. So then they told Rabbi Lazar, don't worry, Arono Ba. Right, I don't know how long it took, but they're burying him in Eretz Yisrael. His Aron, his casket, he's going to be buried here, it's coming. Amar Lam, Rabbi Lazar said, not enough. Inidoma, Kotosa, Mechayim, Kotosa, Lachar Misa. It's something, it's okay, he doesn't say it's nothing, he's not anti it. But says, that kapara, that milah of Eretz Yisrael, you can't compare someone who was living in buried and dying in Chutzlaritz and, as we say, came horizontally, to someone who came vertically and then died here. Why that should be, I don't know. I'm not a mystic, but clearly something mystical when you're talking about death and kapara. There's no rational explanation of these things. By definition, some supernatural. But on some level, says the Gemara, the kapara is less. Okay. Now the Gemara, sometimes it's a new point, and this is a good thing, because Rashi didn't tell us any of this. Now the Gemara introduces the second point, which is the middle point from Rashi. Amar Abelazar, Mesim Shebechutz Laretz Einam Chayim. So if you just read it literally, the Mesim and Chutz Laretz are not alive. Now obviously that doesn't make any sense, because the Mesim nowhere are alive. Chayim here does not mean living like you and I are living. Chayim means living like you and I hope to one day be, namely, Tchiyas HaMesim, given second chance at life. And the Gemara has a startling statement that the Mesim of Chutz Laretz, the first statement of the Gemara is unequivocal, no exceptions. Mesim Chutz Laretz don't get Tchiyas HaMesim. Right? No one told Nefesh B'Nefeshes. They could have put that on the homepage, and they would be bringing a new plane every week. The problem is that I guess they realize people continue reading the Gemara. So the Gemara continues. Although there is still what, even the Maskana, there's what Nefesh B'Nefesh could use if they were creative. Could Rabbi Lazar really have meant that? And the Gemara has assumptions, but Misavara just seems to be absurd. And other sources why, we know, it can't be. It can't be that anyone who died outside of Eretz Yisrael is banished from Tchiyas HaMesim. So therefore the Gemara qualifies it. Okay. Rabbi Lazar, Ali Dei Gil. You can get Tchiyas HaMesim if you're buried in Chutz Laretz, but you're going to have to do something called Gilbul, which is spinning. Somehow you're going to be spinning through the ground. In other words, what is interesting in its own right, again, as much as we can understand this, the actual tchia, the rebirth, happens in Eretz Yisrael for everybody. You're not walking around like a normal human being anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael. You have to get to Eretz Yisrael. So if you're here, you just get up and walk away. You know, move that camera out of the way, and you're there. I guess you get also superhuman strength, I guess, to stomach. But anyway. But if you're in Baltimore or Los Angeles or Australia or wherever you are, you're going to burrow your way, and Rashi points out, as we'll see from the Gemara in a moment, it's a very painful process.
You're dead.
Well, I guess you're in the process of becoming one. What can I tell you? Well, and we know there's a concept, whatever Gehenna means, right? There's a pain, right? After death, too. Anyway, you're going to somehow spin, and I don't know if you like roller coasters or not, but this is not going to be good for anybody. Very nauseous, going to need a barf bag, and you're going to spin all the way there to Israel. So you can get Tchiyas HaMesim, says the Gemara, but only the other day Gilgul. Maskar Rav Abba, Sol Rav Gilgul, the Tzadikim, Sarhu. But that's not fair. What about Tzadikim? The really righteous, they're going to have to go through the terrible Tzad or Tzadikim. Amar Abba, you know you're right. Mechilos Nasos Lem Bekarka. This is fascinating. Gemara says that somehow below, like level one, it's like, you know, where you and I are standing. Like, level one below us is this tunnels, which is going to be, you know, strap your seatbelt on, wild ride. Below that, there's going to be some kind of, you know, underground railroad that's built, and then they could just walk very comfortably. So if you're at Tzadik, who lives in Chutz Laretz, and you're going to Tchiyas HaMesim, you're still going to have to get there to Yisrael. That's when you're still going to pop up in Eretz Yisrael, out of the ground. But you can get there to Yisrael on a nice, slow-moving sidewalk. You don't have to go on the roller coaster or the blister. You just go right through. Mechilos, nasos lahem bekarka. Some comfortable ride. So now the Gemara asks from our parsha, if it turns out that it's such a comfortable, easy thing to get Tchiyas HaMesim from Chutz Laretz, what's the obvious question? Why are Yaakov and Yosef so desperate not to be buried in Chutz Laretz? The Gemara quotes the Pesukim from our parsha and asks the question. The Gemara answers a very fascinating thing. Again, a lot of side topics which we're not going to discuss, but the Gemara is very provocative and gives us a lot of areas and avenues we could go. The Gemara answers, Shema lo yizkeh lemechilos. Yaakov knew he was a tzaddik to the point that he would get Olam Haba. He was worried he was going to get Olam Haba. Yaakov was worried maybe he's not a tzaddik enough that he gets the slow, easy ride. He's worried that he's going to go to the twister. And that's a painful thing, and Yaakov wanted to avoid it. Therefore, he makes Yosef promise to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. Ad Kan the Gemara. So basically, what we see until now is two points about being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Either it's like really incredible and it's the only way to get Olam Haba, or even if we modify it, maybe you can get Olam Haba anyway, but it's either going to be painful or a time-consuming process. It's either like the only way to go or the better way to go. And to say it the other way, if you are in Chutz Laretz, the initial stage of the Gemara seems to be that's terrible. Like, you're not going to get an Olam Haba out of it. And then the Gemara modifies it a second stage, which is, okay, you can get an Olam Haba, but it's going to be a long, painful ride. But so far, we haven't seen anything negative about why you want, if one would want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Just statements of relative benefit or merit. However, the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, in the Masechta Kilayim, gives us a whole new dimension. A whole new dimension, which is going to set the stage for the Rishonim and for the Poskim. Gemara in Yerushalmi has pretty much, as I said, everything in the Gemara here is positive. The question of how positive it is to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing negative about it. The Gemara here actually tells the following story. Chachamim, who were, I don't recognize the name of the city here. Isterin. I don't know if it's up in our school or something, I don't know if they explain where it is. It's some type of port city. And they were there, and they could see every day, or however often it happened, when the Aronos, when the dead people from Chutz Laretz were being brought out, and being, you know, brought to Eretz Yisrael. They saw the Aronos that are born in Chutz Laretz. So one of them said to the other, what are they doing this for? It's all the time and money. End of the first line. Mahu ilu. That doesn't help anything. This is an unbelievable statement. Totally different than everything we've seen until now. Ani kore alehem, someone who lived and died in Chutz Laretz. And then just thinks, what, at the end he's going to get a freebie? Oh, now I'll take Eretz Yisrael. I'm flying this now. Says the Gemara, Pasuk in the Navi Yirmiyah, Benachalti samten toeva. I gave them a nachla, I gave them Eretz Yisrael, and they rejected it. They turned it into a toeva. B'chayetem, in their lifetime. That's not bad enough. But tavoh, but meo, as arzi b'misaschem. Bad enough that they were living in Chutz Laretz and they rejected my nachla. Now they think, as a dead Chutz Laretz Jew, they're going to be the tami, my Eretz. So the blazer, it's a terrible thing that they're being buried here. It's not a good thing at all. Amar lei, kevin shei magin Eretz Yisrael, he not len gush afar manichin aharonan. And quoting which pasuk? Rav Hasano, the same pasuk we saw before. Namely, you think that there's no benefit, that their lives were like, you know, terribly unvaluable because they were Eretz Chutz Laretz and it doesn't help to be buried here? No! There is a shtickle, a bit of a kapara you can get even from being buried here, even if you didn't live or die here. So the Gemara concludes, and the Gemara basically concludes with that. The Gemara gives this other opinion, this Rabbi Kira, I guess is his name, gives him the last word. The Pnei Moshe, interestingly, the Pnei Moshe, interesting Musar, the Pnei Moshe, the one of the commentators in the Yerushalmi, he adds in the brackets, why was the first Chacham, why was he so condemning and so anti these people? You know, after all, you know, some people were born, they have circumstances, it's not their fault, you know, Hashem, Hashkacham made them be born who knows where. But at least now they're finally able to do it. So Pnei Moshe says, you know why he was so critical? Hayamakir Osam, I don't know if he really, really knew them, or like some Ruach HaKodesh thing he knew, but he knew, Shahaya B'yadom La'alos B'chayim Lo Alam. He was so critical of these people because they could have made Aliyah. And they said they could have come vertically. The fact that they waited, and the impression is, you know, enjoyed the easy life and better life in Chutz Laretz, the perceived better life, and now they just want to chop a rind at the end and get whatever benefits they still have in their death. So that he was very, very against. So even though there's a second opinion in the Gemara, which modifies it a little bit, here we see a whole new dimension, a whole new tension, if you will. That is that maybe it's not just a machlokes, whether it's really, really good or somewhat good, you better get control, it's bad. Maybe it's not the right thing to do. Maybe not only do you not get the kapara, or not get as much kapara, maybe it somehow seems like, if I had to put, all this is kind of weird, but if I had to put it in the most down-to-earth terms, I would say it's almost like insulting. You know, like, it would be like somebody, it's not a good analogy, I'm just, off the top of my head, the best I can think of is, you know, someone who, let's say, in class, and it's, you know, doesn't come to class at all, and then just thinks that they come the last day, and they get the you know, notes, and they, you know, the teacher's going to love them all just as much. Like, who are you kidding? Like, if that enough you cut the whole semester, you think you can, you know, come to my Hanukkah party, or come to the last day of class, and I'm going to think it's just as good? So, it's the same, is that you?
No.
you're thinking of something different. Okay. Anyway, so it seems like it's almost like insulting to Eretz Yisrael. Like, who do you think you are? Like, you want the benefits of Eretz Yisrael, so then live here. Make the sacrifice to live here too. That seems to be that opinion. Very, very harsh. The Gemara then has a second opinion that modifies that a little bit and says, no, you can get the benefits. So, we see in the Gemara and Chazal some different strands of thought, if you will. One other source, which will be picked up on by some of the poskim, which is also very, very negative, is the Zohar. Not exactly the Zohar man, but it is quoted by some of the poskim. The Zohar is the same as the Yerushalmi, just perhaps even more extreme. The same idea, saying that if you didn't live near Dyer, you have no right to try to grab the benefits of Eretz Yisrael in death.
What makes it worse?
You'll see the, I have a quote in one of the posts. It's just more kind of graphic and, you know, more clubbing over the head. Down. Anyway, the Rambam seems to have both opinions, although you can see if you tell me if you think which way he's leaning. The Rambam seems to quote both psukim, both opinions. First he quotes the idea, which of course is that the best thing is to live in Eretz Yisrael. I should go stay in Eretz Yisrael. But then, and even for Amos, if you do Tiyul in Eretz Yisrael, you get an Olam Haba. But then the Rambam says, the first opinion. It's kapara, there's a certain kapara. He doesn't talk about like, you know, to get some ace and like rolling. Rambam wasn't a great adventure kind of guy, even focused on the roller coaster ride. But he says it's a kapara. It's ilu your kapara tachas amizbeach. So he says it's a very good thing. That's the first opinion that the Rambam quotes. He adds, it would be better to live here. It would be better to have been living here and die here, but still, if you live in a kapara, to get buried here, says Rambam, there's a kapara. Then he says, so even though he modified it by quoting that second opinion in the Gemara that says it may not be as good, but then at the end he comes back to saying, but no, it seems to be a good thing because after all, look what Yaakov Yosef does. It's one of the rare times that the Rambam in the Guf Halacha gives you a quote from a, gives you a proof from a story in Tanakh. The Rambam tells you it's proof, if you will. Look what Yaakov Yosef did in Parshas Vayechi. So many poskim learn from the way the Rambam concludes that he seems to be passing like the first opinion. Namely that it's 100% good. After all, if it wasn't really good, why Yaakov Yosef have wanted it?
It's better to die.
He does quote that, but it's not clear. There are two different opinions in the Gemara. He quoted both. So that's a 100% clear in the Rambam. When he concludes with this thing about Yaakov Yosef, was that a way of saying either way you're okay? Or was that a way of saying even though there's two opinions, he's really holding like the first opinion, which is it's all good. It's hard to know. No. He buried it though. I don't think so. He buried it. You guys have been there yet?
Who we did?
You know, the 14 pillars?
Turn of that went.
Your coins? That's a separate topic. I was thinking about using that this week. Or maybe you spoke about that, right? Didn't I? Who spoke about it? You, right? Yeah, okay, so anyway, there's a topic. You could think that the chukas topic is a key topic, the shlach topic is called the Marsha Mapela. Anyway, we'll see if we talk about that another time. Then I'll put one in the Mishnah or the Rabbah. The Rabbah has a tshuva, though. Whatever one thinks from the Mishnah Torah, the Rabbah has a tshuva where he writes, somebody asked the Rabbah, there's this family and somebody died and they want to bring the body back to Israel. You know, is that a good thing, a bad thing? Should we stop them? Should we convince them to do it? The Rabbah writes very, very short, no tricks. The Rabbah says very clearly, Masha Asa, who tov ma'ov, chay asu udochach from Yisrael. So that's immediately addressed to the Gemara, which opinion, but the bottom line is the Rambam is unequivocally, it seems so in the Tshuva as well, after the Mishnah Torah, thinks it's a good thing to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So what I want to do is, I have enough, so much time left, but I want to divide the Eretz Yisrael into three parts, if we can. You ready? Three parts. Number one is, to show you those opinions which confirm what we've seen to be leaning towards, namely those who post-team or Rishonim, which seem to say it's a very good thing. You don't live there? Okay, but you might as well be buried there, it's a good thing. Then I'll show you quickly a minority view, but there is a strong minority view that says, no, it's a bad thing. The Marek Subas, the Zohar, don't do it. And then, I'm probably not going to have enough time for the last section of this year, which is I was going to share with you, but I'll tell you what there are so you can look at it on your own, a number of very interesting cases in recent Jewish history, which are quoted in the Tshuva Sfarim, where you have some of these issues being battled out. But let's start with first things first. This orientation which we have, this is the majority view of the Gemara, it seems to be the Rambam's view, so we see this idea of the positive thing in a lot of poskim. For example, if you look at the first verses in number 4, the Shulchan Aruch and the Tisvei Tshuva speak about a different case. Not if you're buried in Eretz Yisrael, you're buried in the Chutz Laaretz, but we want to disinter you. That's a fancy way of saying dig you up. And then reinter you, rebury you in Eretz Yisrael. Usually it's considered an Isser to disinter a body. That's considered a bizvayon, disrespectful. But there are exceptions. And one of the exceptions the Shulchan Aruch says is to reinter someone in Eretz Yisrael, you'll have to dig them up at Kofaris. And then the Pisei Tshuva says an amazing thing. Pisei Tshuva quotes from the Maharal Bach that even if you knew that over the person's lifetime, you know, he said, oh, you know, every time, you know, every few months, somebody's neighbor died and moved to, and was buried next to Israel, and every time, you know, you heard your father say, oh, it's crazy, why does he do it? It's so much money, or whatever reason he doesn't think it's a good idea. So you knew that your father's opinion, you know, you always, whenever you talk about this, he was always thought it was a bad thing. Says the Maharal Bach, even though that is what is the rachon of the person, as a child, you don't have to listen to him. It's an amazing thing. Usually we have from our parsha, mitzvah l'tan divrei ames. Here the Maharal Bach says, even if you do, that's not what he would have wanted. You're still allowed to do it. Afim giladaitu v'chaya v'feirish, the lav shapir l'mesik, it doesn't matter, we're still allowed to do it. Afim l'hachi shari, divnohi l'miskerei mitzvah ta'af. It's a mitzvah to be buried after Israel, unless you can do it anyway. He then backs off or modifies a little bit. He says, it's one thing if you know that was his opinion. It's a whole other thing if he said to you, Allah, Yaakov, and Yosef, but in the opposite direction, son, don't bury me in Eretz Yisrael. If your father or your mother gave you a specific tzivui not to do it, so then he says, well, okay, that's a little bit, you know, we're not going to do that. Can't transgress that. Can't violate that. But if it's stop, I know his opinion was, it's not a good thing. I know his opinion was he wouldn't have wanted it. He didn't tell me not to do it explicitly. I just know that he wouldn't have. So we don't start playing games, maybe he didn't want it, maybe he changed his mind. No, says the Maharal Bach, even if we know he didn't want it, we're allowed to do it anyway. It's an amazing sign. Practically speaking, I don't know how often it would happen, but just to show you how strongly he feels the schus, the kapara, of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Har Tzvi of Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rabbi of Yerushalayim, has a tshuva where he was asked by some chassidim, the Kalina Rebbe died in America. This is already now 20th century. He died in America. And there were chassidim who wanted to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, and they swore, they attested, that he wanted it, that that's what he wanted. But there are other people, you know, because there's always other people who think they know better. That's just, wouldn't be a Jewish community without people like that, who will always know better. Other people who are giving him a hard time know it's wrong, and maybe they said he didn't want it, and it's against the Zohar, and how could he do it? They sent a letter of Tzvi Pesach Frank, and what should we do? Tzvi Pesach Frank is very clear, it's 100% the right thing to do, especially since you know that's what he wanted. Mitzvah lahavio ulekov ro beretz Yisrael. And Misha Ma'ake, someone who's trying to stop you, Yochosh lenavsho, because he's being gorei tsar l'osav tsar. The person who's giving you trouble, he better be worried, because if he doesn't cut it out, this may be a practical shiloh for him as well in the very near future. That's what Tzvi Pesach Frank says. It's a huge mitzvah. You shouldn't, chas v'shalom, get in the way of telling people that they shouldn't do it. Finally, to mention on this side of the equation, the Tzitz Eliezer here. I have two shuvahs from the Tzitz Eliezer, where he also speaks generally about this idea, kapara, being close to Mizbeah. And then the Tzitz Eliezer quotes from Poskim, even from Ramban, from other Rishonim, that it's not just Eretz Yisrael. Within Eretz Yisrael, if you're buried in Yerushalayim, is even better. Then he speaks about a certain valley or a certain hill, which is somehow the most like parallel to where the Mizbeah was, even better. And as he takes this idea from the Gemara, we saw very, very literally that not just a kapara, but just like, you know, you, when you're davening kuftar, you face Eretz Yisrael. You know, each place you are, you're focusing and getting closer and closer. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, that applies in this sugya of being buried as well. Okay, so Ad Kan, not surprising, just an interesting group of other shuvas and makoros that stress and reiterate and develop this idea, which we already kind of saw the majority from the Gemara and the Rambam. It's a good thing, it's a zchus, it's a kapara, not to mention the fact that you get an easier ride in Kesa Mesim, and the main thing seems to be it's a mitzvah and a kapara in the short term, forget the long term. Therefore, it's a good thing in all these post-Mu. But there were at least three of the great, great 20th century post-Mu in the United States who all, not for identical reasons, but were all, I wouldn't say vehemently, but we're all somewhat strongly opposed to the idea of someone in America being buried in Kosovo. The three Gedolim I'm referring to are being buried in Eretz Yisrael. The three Gedolim I'm referring to are Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and someone who's perhaps not as well known to you, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, who was the Gedol HaPoskim in America before Rav Moshe Feinstein. All three of them. Rav Moshe we don't have in writing as much, about the specific question of should a person or not in general, but we have it from the family, another Talmidim who has about that. Yaakov Kamaretsky, there's a sefer, I didn't have a chance to put it on the sheet because I just saw it today, a sefer called B'mechitzas Rabbeinu, which is like, if you know what Nefesh HaRav is, about Rav Soloveitchik, like a collection of like his actions and his shitas about things. So B'mechitzas Rabbeinu is that kind of like thing about Rav Yaakov Kamaretsky, and there they have it in the area of Nechaz Avelis, that he was very much against it. And we have here, I put it on the sheet, by number 6, Rav Hankin wrote a tshuva about it. The reasons they were against it basically are as follows. Rav Hankin says, listen, especially in his day, it's very expensive. We don't have that much money. The almana, the widow, let's say, or the yorshim, they may not have that much money themselves. They'd be getting a small yerusha. You know, have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars now to go. It's just not right, he says. He says it shouldn't be done.
Where are they buried?
I'll tell you in 1 second. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. Don't worry, I'll get to it. He says, basically, that's one of Rav Hankin's main points, is that it's a waste of money, and it's too much pressure to put on the children or the almana. He says, Rav Hankin adds, great tzaddikim, you want to be like Yaakov, you want to be like Yosef? Okay, if you lived the life like Yaakov and Yosef, you could do like that too. But for the average Tom Jew, he says it's not a good thing. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was also against it. He gave a few reasons. Number one is obviously the burial, this is especially before the flood. Even now, but especially a generation ago, and let alone more, being very extra strong, there's going to be a great delay. Halal HaSameis is generally an Isser. Right? We don't let the delay, it's considered a bizayon, it's a delay to bury. Now, other post-Gim say, listen, it's a bizayon if we delay for no reason, but we're delaying for a good reason, i.e., to get the Pesuk Kapara and a smooth ride to Olam Haba, or to Tzeis HaMeisim, that's not considered a problem. Rav Yaakov apparently was sensitive to that. Then Rav Yaakov introduced another thing, which I think on a human level is very, very insightful of him. And this is why you see sometimes families deciding, even if they can afford it or whatever, stop going to bury in Chutz La'aretz. Says Rav Yaakov, there's an inyan, and he even referred to it as a mitzvah, or at least with his book called it a mitzvah, of the children to visit the grave. He says they're obviously not going to be able to do it as much as if the person is buried very far away in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say they can't afford it. And if they can afford it, people can't always take off, they'll fly to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore he says, whether it's Slichos time, or Shoshana time, or other time, your site, there's an Indian, it's not even a mitzvah to go to the tshuva, it inspires you to do tshuva when you go to see your father's temple, your mom's temple. So says of Yaakov, for those reasons, again, he's not arguing on the Gemara, he's not arguing on the Shofar. It might be a mitzvah, there might be a kapara. But at the end of the day, Yaakov feels these other factors should be considered as well. Rav Moshe also has a similar idea, kind of like Rav Hankin, basically. At least that's what they quote him as saying. It really may be for a big tzaddikin, yes, but you know, shouldn't be for other people. So he asked where they were buried. So as far as I know, the answer is the following. Yaakov Kamenetsky, in this same book, it says that in his lifetime, he bought a plot of land to be buried in, so that it wouldn't be an issue when he died, and then his children would be unsure what to do, what not to do. He bought a plot of land to make sure that he would be buried in the United States. If I'm not mistaken, I think, but I don't know for sure, Rav Hankin is also buried in the United States. Rav Moshe, as far as I know, did not leave a will or tzavo where he should be buried. His children decided to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, not because they didn't know that his opinion generally was against it, but his opinion, not that he ever said it about himself, Moshe was an honor. Rav Moshe said, for big tzaddikim in Gedolim, they could be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So his children said, okay, well, our father was a big tzaddik and a big gadol, so he should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He was buried very famously, predecessor, or whatever exactly your site is. So, all day, that's their opinion. One which is interesting, and also agreeing, but much stronger even, because these are all kind of extra issues, side factors. Money, visiting the Fura, that kind of stuff. Comes along the Satmar Rebbe, in the Divrei Yoel, on our parsha, the Satmar Rebbe, who is obviously had some very extreme shitas about living in Eretz Yisrael. Now we'll see extreme shitas about dying in Eretz Yisrael, being buried in Eretz Yisrael too. But you should just know, I'm not exactly a Chasar Satmar by any stretch, but he was an unbelievable genius and a huge Tamachov. It's not a two probably, but he was a huge genius Tamachov. His Svarim are, I've read quite a few stuff from him over the years, really impressive. It's not necessarily our style of learning, but still, he was a genius. He was a tremendous Gaon. And even his Chumash stuff, which I don't know as well, his Halakhic stuff, he has some interesting things there too. So here the Divrei Yoel, Slatma Rebbe, on our pasuk, on our parsha, he quotes the Zohar. I mentioned to you the Zohar, who basically speaks about this idea of man de nishmasei nafka levar me'ara kadisha, someone whose neshama goes out, someone who dies outside of Eretz Yisrael, and someone who thinks that somehow the gufa salkele kavra go ara kadisha, who wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Quotes the say like our Gemara. He quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah of the nafalti samtem l'tueva. It's a very bad thing. And then, and here I'm not sure where the Zohar ends and the Rebbe begins, but he says wild stuff. Because if it's really so bad to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, so what's the kasha? Yaakov and Yosef. So this is, again, I think this is the Slatma Rebbe. I don't know how much is this in the Zohar, but it's wild stuff. It's worth it coming tonight just so you can hear this source. And wherever you're going to be for Shabbos, you can drop this on the Shabbos table. They will not forget you soon. Says the Slatma Rebbe, Shanu, what about Yaakov and Yosef? She says, well, I'll tell you. We have a Chazal, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. There you go. Yaakov Avinu lo meis, it's not a problem. Gufa iskayim b'kiyuma tavir. It's an unbelievable thing. Right, a lot of different Torahs on what does that mean, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Right, like they cried, they mourned him. What do you mean he died? So you know the simple pshat is that his legacy is living for his children, and they all remember him, and the Jewish people are known by his name. I'm not such an expert on that topic, but I can't believe there's a more extreme shita on that topic anywhere than this Slatma Rebbe right here. Listen, it's unbelievable what he says. Gufo is kayein b'kiyuma tavir. His body is existing permanently. Where? I don't know. I mean, I guess in Masa
Makhail.
How about Yosef? Yeah, there's a story.
About Yaakov walking around?
There's probably that when people went to...
They saw some bright light or something, right?
They heard a voice that said, like, they thought it was Yaakov.
Is that true? Okay, whatever. Anyway, he says, the lo chayim le sitra apra, the super, you know, power of tuma sitra apra, it had no power on Yaakov lo meis, gufo kiyum olam tavir. So what about Yosef? Yosef was a tzaddik, but Yosef doesn't say he did die. Yosef did die. But here he has a nice, fine, lomda shechilik. He says, what is the problem? Because you're bringing this, the pasuk in the Navi had said, Tabi, you bring the Tamad Arts. So says the Slatma Rebbe, what does that mean? I said in your head, I have no idea what that means. The Slatma Rebbe thinks he knows what that means. That somehow when a body decays, that's what attracts the Sitra Afra. Just like on a very human, scientific, or biological level, when a human body is decaying, that creates certain realities that would attract certain things to the body. On a metaphysical, spiritual level, Slatma Rebbe, as the body is decaying, that's attracting, that's bringing, or maybe chicken and the egg, maybe the Sitra Afra is making the body decay, I don't know. But somehow, with the body decaying and the Sitra Afra is the problem that the Zohar, and I guess you assume Gemara was getting. So now you tell me what's the solution. So why was Yosef not a problem? He wasn't, no, he wasn't buried. When they brought him there to Israel, was there any body to decay? What did they take throughout the desert 40 years? Atzmos Yosef. The clinging around of those bones. Have that for your breakfast in the morning, with your little portion of mud and the side music in the background, and you have his bones rattling around. Says the Slatma Rebbe, that saved the day. Because of that, there's no problem with the Sitra Achor or some kind of a tumah when he's buried in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's not a problem. Now, it's hard to believe. Maybe I'm being cynical. It's hard to believe that it's a completely coincidental. The Slatma Rebbe with all of those shitos is also very, very against being buried here. But to be clear, unless I missed it somewhere, he doesn't quote any of his usual hashkafic things about the Medina or anything. He is just here, he's wearing his other hat, which is not rabbi anti-Zionist, but chassid slash Zohar follower. So the Zohar is very against it, so he develops the idea and goes straight to the Zohar. Even though the Zohar is just a slightly more extreme version of the Gemara, he doesn't bother quoting the Gemara as much as it's the Zohar is machmir against it, the Zohar is against it, the Gemara seems to say it's a mitzvah. So I was going to say, well, you know, maybe the Gemara didn't realize about the Zohar, and the Zohar was revealed later, and again, it's not exactly my stuff, but this is where we're late. I'll take the questions after the share. I just want to tell you quickly about some of the tshuvas that I have on the bottom, and we'll call it a day. Bottom line is, you have two views in the post-skim in Shulchan Aruch, and most views are that fundamentally there's a milah, there's a benefit to being buried here. Yes, it's true, you have to keep into account all sorts of things. Can your family afford it? What about the fact that the children won't be able to visit as much? How do you weigh all those things? And that's what you have. Some families doing it, some families not. But fundamentally, most poskim accept ideas. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a mitzvah. You're even allowed to dig up somebody to bury them, to rebury them. So certainly to bury them initially, of course, the chor, it's a mitzvah, it's a kapara, it's a chiesa mason. You have this minority view, whether there's an objective objection like the Zohar, or is it just practically for these side things like Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin and Jack Kamenetsky had, you have families with different practices, and you see really legitimately both sides expressed here by the poskim. But again, I think it's clear the majority normative view is that Mikra did, we do some objective, it's a mile of schus and a kapara to be very here. Just going to quickly tell you, Balpeh, what I have here on number 6, which is a few very interesting truvas. One is from the second one here from Rav Moshe, after argues on something that Rabbi Avadi Yosef and others passing, which I just put on the sheet, which was about the famous Moses Montefiore. I don't have time to give you the whole biography of Moses Montefiore, to make you know of him, you certainly know the name. One of the most famous Jews of any era, did incredible things in his life. It's like hard to believe all the things he accomplished. He's an incredible, incredible person. Among the things he did was he was a huge supporter of building up Eretz Yisrael. But he's English, and he lived and died, and he made 7 trips in the 19th century, which is pretty impressive, but he lived and died in London. I'm not sure how many years later, but somehow after his death, there were people who felt Montefiore built and helped build Eretz Yisrael. We should dig him up and move to Eretz Yisrael. So the Shulchan Aruch to do it. Anyway, they sent letters to various poskim. Rav Avadi Yosef, for example, felt it was a good thing. Why should you? Sure, you should. Rav Moshe Feinstein here in the Shuva, he thought of a specific case, but here he comes out against him. I don't even know what happened. I think he's still in London. I don't think they did it. Rav Moshe, but for other reasons. Rav Moshe here in this Shuva here, Yerodeh Legimel, it's all about Moses Montefiore and his psak that, given the circumstances of that situation, you should not bring him to Eretz Yisrael, but you should leave him in Chutzlaretz. That was number one. Take a look at the next Shuva below, the Chalkes Yaakov, the Yaakov Reich, living around and before and after the Holocaust in Switzerland. He has asked the following amazing tshuva. Somebody had a dream 3 successive nights, or 3 different dreams, that the relative came to them with increasing enthusiasm, dig me up and bury me out to Israel. Come on, right? Next night he wakes up in a cold sweat. He has these dreams, and he asked the Rabbi to Shaila, and we buried him with the Chutzlaretz. We didn't know you didn't want to be buried there. Now all of a sudden I'm having these dreams where my father's coming to give me the dream and telling me to dig me up. So leave us a half the truth about what the halakhic status of dreams are. You know, do you send them to a Kabbalist? Do you send them to a psychologist? Do you send them to a posek? What's the halakhic status of dreams? And that's an interesting topic. But the first half of the tshuva, he has an opportunity to discuss whether this is really a good thing or a bad thing. Would you dig somebody up in these circumstances? And just to mention to you, the first tshuva of Rav Moshe here is also very interesting. And that is the case of somebody who wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but at the time couldn't. So they're buried in Montreal, and then later the husband wants to do it, and then other cases where there was somebody whose child predeceased them, and they were buried in Eretz Yisrael, and like 20 years later the mother died, and she wants to be near her son, so they want to bury. All sorts of interesting tshuvas, which are all variations of the same basic question, but I thought, we didn't have time to see them inside, but I thought that they were all interesting because each one of them has a different, unique situation, and we see how complex life can be. But in all of them, you have the posting, after you strip away all the interesting details, still dealing with the same basic makaros and the same basic tension of the relative milos, which clearly there seem to be, of being very natural, versus either the downside of subas slash the Gemara slash the Zohar, or other practical considerations which each case brings up. All right, have a good Shabbos, and remember, the main lesson is, much better to be here than to die.